Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
You remember last time the Nats were in Citi Field last year, I believe. Not the last time this year. The last time last year. These two guys don't like each other after the Eaton double play. Todd Frazier and Adam Eaton almost went at it between innings. Yeah, this is between innings. Watch Adam Eaton right here. And this is Todd Frazier right here. Eaton was walking to his position. He said, Hodge, you say something to me? He turned around and started walking to Frazier. Frazier started coming out. The Mets players held Frazier back. Somebody held Adam Eaton back. And look at the guys in the bottom of the screen in the Nats dugout hopping the rail and ready to go.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
Not quite summer yet, but the time is right for fighting in the streets. Boys will be boys, right? Mets-Nationals game last night. Adam Eaton and Todd Frazier exchanging words, and it continues today, highlight courtesy of MASN. Quickly, to let you know about the Cubs, Javi Baez out of the lineup again tonight. Addison Russell is the shortstop, and he'll hit eight. The lineup, other than that, pretty much exactly as it was last night, except for Contreras. Wilson Contreras back behind the dish. Victor Caratini not in the lineup tonight, and Jose Quintana will do the pitching for the Cubs as they continue against the Phillies. So what the hell is going on with Adam Eaton and Todd Frazier? What's happening between these two former White Sox? Why can't they get along? This goes back several years.
Yeah. Yes. Are we going to get Tanian
to
on
the
this?
Drake LaRoy? Absolutely.
Let's go.
He's happy to talk about White Sox, former White Sox dysfunction.
Yeah, we lost a leader that day. Let's go with that.
How angry can the 2016 White Sox make you? Well, they're still fighting about it years later. So this was Adam Eaton after the game last night.
Something happened with you and Frazier?
You asked, like, you didn't see anything. I don't know. He, gosh, what goes on in that last mind. I don't know. He's chirping all the way across the infield. And he must really like me because he wants to get my attention. It seems like every time we come here to town he really cares what I think about him, I guess. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if he wants to talk to me in person or have a visit or what it is.
Have a visit or what it is.
Cool.
So that's after the game last night. That's Adam Eaton, the charter member of the Drake LaRoche fan club.
He lost the leader in Drake, which is crazy enough that a 14-year-old could be looked at that, but the kid was so tremendous.
It's crazy suggesting it, yes. That's not the word for it, because it wouldn't happen in a big league clubhouse. So you hear from Adam Eaton after the game. Let's hear from the angry Todd Frazier. This is before their game tonight. They're rematching tonight. This is what Todd Frazier has to say.
That's Adam. At the end of the day, you think about what a man really is. You settle stuff out in the field. You don't really talk about it. And that's basically what I do. I mean, back in the day, that's how I usually settle it. I didn't really want to talk about it, but, I heard what he said. Didn't really bother me that much, but at the end of the day, U.S. guys, and when I played with the White Sox in 2016, and I saw 23 of those guys, they didn't know what happened. For him to even talk after that, I don't know how you talk after that, and that's basically all I'll say after that. But, men usually settle on the field. They don't need to talk about it, but, he started with coming at me with that kind of, I'm a man, I got a mortgage, I'm paying two kids. Pay off your mortgage. I don't know what to tell you.
What happened tonight?
That's all I'll say about that.
Todd, why do you think he decided to... You said that's Adam, but why do you think he decided to...
Immaturity. Yeah. Just immaturity. If you know Adam, like every team he's been on, you hear what people say. You understand. And I was part of it for a year and a half, so...
Are you surprised to hear his comments also?
No. That's him.
I don't think so.
Do you think last night he said he was saying some stuff? Do you feel you crossed any line with him last night?
Not at all. He understands where I'm coming from. He knows the past history. He's going to have to take it. That's it. So I said my piece, and I'm done with it now, unless, you know, something stirs up.
Another question, Mike. Yeah, that's all I have to say about that. He's immature.
That's it. Props to those writers for sticking with it.
Yes, they continued the line of questioning.
Right. It looked like he wasn't going to say more. He was pulling that Forrest Gump, and that's all I have to say about that.
Exactly.
And then, but with the thick New Jersey accent, New Jersey strong for Frazier there, but they just kept poking away at him and got more good stuff.
T-Fraz 21, I believe, was his Twitter handle when he was here. So is all of this a byproduct of Drake LaRoche? Was there more to it than that?
Well, to know Adam Eaton, you have to go back to previous to the White Sox, his run of why he was even available for the White Sox to get. And that dates all the way back to his time in Arizona, where it was a lot of the same belief that he kind of had talked his way out of that locker room, had driven enough of that locker room crazy. Name Chicago fans are familiar with. Miguel Montero was vocal about it at that time. And it didn't seem like, even back when the Sox originally acquired him, that the Diamondbacks were too hesitant to let him go.
What are some of the specifics of it?
Annoying.
I'm sure every clubhouse has a few guys who are annoying, do they not?
Well, according to our Bruce Levine, he had said that they were locker mates back with the White Sox, and they had to be separated after a locker room kerfuffle.
A kerfuffle!
Great word.
Yes, it is. Kerfuffle!
Yo, all this,
and then they stuck Tim Anderson between their lockers, right, when he came on board?
Poor Timmy.
I don't know.
All this, though, just goes to show what an amazing trade it was when the Sox got Giolito, Reynaldo Lopez, and Dane Dunning, if Dane Dunning's arm gets reattached.
Is Adam Eaton the least popular White Sox player in the last decade or so among his teammates?
Swish.
You were off doing other things, but when this whole Drake LaRoche thing happened, it was quite a time to be alive and be a White Sox fan. That it was
Tanny,
a story.
I wasn't in Australia hunting crocodiles.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I was pushing Bob Seger music, but I was still doing my Sox hits.
Yeah, it was not a fun time to be it still isn't, to be honest, but back then, especially. Then they got off to a nice start. He thought they would overcome it a little bit, and then not so much after that.
Tanny, is it safe to assume, this is always my belief, that Frazier actually commanded a lot of respect in the clubhouse, and obviously more than Eaton did? Do you think Frazier's looked at as an upstanding guy?
All I can tell you is that he's blocked everyone on Twitter that I know. That was his thing when he was here. He was just go out on blocking spree. If you tweeted anything at him, if you want to characterize that as a guy who's like maybe overly sensitive. He may not even handle his own social media, but everyone that's on part of White Sox Twitter is most likely blocked by Tom Frazier.
Going to Kembe on
he
the
Sox
fan.
He could get in sports media with that attitude. Yeah.
That's funny.
Why would he be upset at some? I assume a lot of them positive things.
Yeah, they were.
That
was the irony of the whole thing. A lot of it was positive stuff.
Flavor Fraz. That was his
phrase. Yeah.
Like the 2016 Cubs will go down as a team that broke the curse. I'm more curious to see the documentaries 20 years from now on the 2016 White Sox. Oh,
will there be one?
Well, because of the drama with those two.
Don't Jimmy look forward to the Tribune.
Nice.
It would require an author.
I get to see executive producer Drake LaRoche on that project.
Like Jimmy Rollins, there was the run-in with him and Eaton early on in that season where Rollins wouldn't just
Burnsy refreshed me on that
run.
Today. I barely remembered that. Maybe I was in Australia.
Chris Sale cutting up the jerseys. Right. Like, it was for a bad team. It was a damn interesting team.
So who was it who went to Kenny Williams and said, get Drake out of here? Was it Jimmy? Was it Eaton? What do you think?
Was it 24 other guys named LaRoche?
Yeah, I think we all speculated at the time it was either Rollins or Frazier because they were the new guys that were added to that team, and Adam LaRoche, I believe, had been here the year before with Drake, and they had done the whole thing where Drake would he was homeschooled, so he would travel with the team and be there every day, and that was fine for a year. Then all of a sudden you add these new veterans into their mix, and then you had problems. So I think people speculated it was one of those two guys.
Okay. Current White Sox. You said it's not any much more fun being a fan today. Are you starting to see what I saw in Eloy in left field early on this season?
Yeah,
you're starting to hear Van Halen's Panama every time the ball gets in the air because it's El Caballo-esque.
Yeah, there are rumblings here. We're all a little bit nervous, like, and not so much at the plate. I'm trying to get people to get off the ledge about Eloy at the plate. I think eventually he will settle in, get comfortable because he's still making contact. He doesn't look totally overwhelmed out there, but the defense is quite an adventure. And Schwarber got a lot better, so I'm hoping, you know, they can hide him somewhere or he can at least improve next year.
That's very true, man. Now, Schwarber, he has a lot of pride in his defense, and he lost weight and took it seriously. I don't know if Eloy does, man. He loves hitting. He will be a great hitter. That's almost guaranteed. But, man, we got to see if his attitude is such that he wants to be a decent left fielder.
I think he'll be a terrific offensive player. Yeah. I like what I see there. I see a guy who's very clunky defensively. I mean, as clunky as you get for young power hitting prospects.
Injuring himself for no reason. It's going back to the fence and sticking your leg up and hurting yourself.
He's as Carlos Lee as anything I've seen in 20 years.
Seriously.
Man, I liked El Caballo, too. I was a Panama man. I loved that guy.
Third baseman who just happened to be playing left field. They got no spot for him.
Schwarber's one really glaring mistake this year in left field was not about his lack of athletic ability, or he got a bad read on the ball and moved to his left when he should have been moving to his right when he went, and he had to do the double drop step. He didn't get his feet tangled, but because he read it wrong, he didn't get there in time to catch a sinking ball.
You're sounding like this is a one-time thing. Haven't there been a few of these? I covered
last
a game
year,
where
early on last year, that Marlins game on opening day was a month's worth of errors. Yeah, he should have worn the size 16 big blue shoes for that one.
I covered a Sunday game a couple weeks ago where the wind was howling in, and he did a 360 or 720 and couldn't quite corral it, turned into a three-base error off Yelich's bat. But, you know, I think his deal is if it's just a conventional game with normal wind and not any goofy plays, he's fine. But, man, you notice it in all the other games, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So there you have it. We've discussed the White Sox.
So just to put a cap on it, thank you, Rick Hahn. That was a good move, trading away Adam Eaton, getting Lucas Giolito and Lopez and Dane Dunning. So thank you, Rick Hahn.
Lopez.
You wonder why guys become available, stuff like that.
Yep.
This hour of the show is brought to you by Burris Equipment. Visit them at burrisequipment.com for details. Anytime you want to get to us via text message, 67011 is the way you do that. Text line brought to you by MegaPros. Repair, remodel, renovate, megapros.com. We will, at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, as we have to get out of here at 5:30, national broadcast tonight for Cubs and Phillies, so they start earlier. The pregame show tonight at 5:30, hosted by Matt Spiegel. Happy to see Matt Spiegel getting opportunity during pre, and he'll give updates, I assume, during the ball game. They're not throwing him an inning, which is part of the job description. Not sure about that. I would say give the man an opportunity. How bad can he be, right? How bad can Spiegel be doing one inning of baseball? Honestly.
Such high expectations
Come on.
You have.
But he's doing pregame at 5 o'clock, and we'll share the Joe Maddon interview he did earlier today with Lawrence Holmes, in which I found Joe to be, and I think every time I've heard him with Lawrence this year, he's been affable and a willing participant. But today in particular, he sounded really, really refreshed and happy. I think I attribute it to Darvish. Now, maybe there's way more to it than that. Maybe it's the settling in of a baseball season. Maybe there's something personally in his life that is really good today, like a restaurant where people can get a sausage stuffed pierogi.
Boom.
And you're probably right. I don't know where else you find that.
Only place on the planet.
I would think.
Yeah.
But Joe sounded really happy today. And he talks about all kinds of interesting things, like Victor Caratini and how he's developing behind the plate, and also Darvish and everything that was germane to last night's game. Jake Arrieta's return and all those things.
Those interviews are great, and Joe never disappoints, nor does Lawrence. But, I mean, Joe especially, when we heard in the offseason where Theo was saying, well, he's going to do, spend more time with the players, which to us was like, oh, dear God, don't spend less time with us. Because those 12 or 13 minutes you get before every game, gold, man. I mean, he really, he writes your stories for you. He hears the same dumb questions, twice a week for the entire season, and he never blows him off. I would have way less patience. So the way he is with those guys in terms of, as some managers like to say, touching them every day,
yeah.
You know, that's what he brings to the station. That's what he brings to all of his sessions with us, man. We appreciate him. And part of why I want the Cubs to be great this year is I want Joe to be there for a long time coming.
Let me ask you a question I didn't think we'd get to today, but you just said something a few minutes ago, and it was regarding pregame, and I just was thinking about this earlier this morning and did not mention it. My apologies, or I would have suggested it via show email, because you read them and respond. Like record level of substitute hosts.
Forget substitute hosts.
Yeah, right.
Like... Yeah. Any host.
I think I counted 10 email replies from Teddy G to show exchanges today.
And that doesn't count the ones he sent back to me yesterday.
Just amazing. Amazing.
Well, I mean, at the end of the email, I think there was a line about Terry Borges and where it said, hey, don't just reply and say, sounds good.
Yeah.
You know,
love you, buddy.
Love it. Throw me a period, punctuated, okay? I'll call it a sentence.
And also, Mac, you got me so excited with all those golf questions.
Yeah, I mean, that was fun. A lot of listeners got to us via text and said they enjoyed that, and I'm glad they did. It was supposed to be fun. Absolutely. Not everything is about what other people do. Sometimes it's about what we go out and do as weekend warriors. But what I was going to ask you was regarding – I've been dissatisfied with our media. And it's not just print. It's anybody who gets near Addison Russell when he has addressed his anger management issues and subsequent treatment that he's still continuing. Yep. I don't know why people who cover sports can't spend a little bit more time thinking about the questions that are most pertinent to Addison Russell.
Right.
Because in Melissa Reedy's blogs, she reported him to be drunk at times of abuse.
Yep.
Nobody has asked him if he is continuing his relationship with alcohol.
Hmm.
They've had two opportunities, and the wrong question. Well, how have your teammates received you now that you're... Well, you know what? Why do you... Stop! What did you do, Addison? You know, when you read that blog, when you read that blog, how did that make you feel when America was learning about you bashing your woman with your child in her hands?
Yeah. No, as somebody who covers baseball, I'll be out at Wrigley Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And, I can do it. I can get out there and ask your question for you. I would just say...
Did you hear the interviews?
I didn't. I just know that those can be tricky. You're in a big group setting. You don't want to ask a question that kind of makes the player, you know, puts him on his back heels, kind of makes him hate you, because then you're not going to get access in the future. If you're going to ask a question like that, it's going to be in a one-on-one. It wasn't going to be in that first session.
Are they even granting one-on-one?
Well,
interviews with
I mean, you can just go up to any player you want. Now, Addison in the past, he was one of the most difficult players to get to.
He would
have his headphones on the whole time. He'd be like disengaged, kind of like you, Darvish, last year. You just never saw you. Addison just had a vibe of kind of don't really approach me. Plus, if a guy's having a bad season, you feel like you're just not going to get a lot of good quotes anyway. You know, Steve Greenberg from the Sun-Times, give him credit. He followed up the next day and got some quotes from Addison. And that's the one where he said some dumb stuff about the fans, I can take it or leave it or something. You know, he was acting like he didn't care what they said. Then Addison, you know, was making up for that the next day and saying, I totally respect however the fans view. I just think
to those who are unhappy with his presence, what would you say was the question that prompted an answer that went like, I'm here.
It was kind of a blowing off the fans type of answer. It was exactly. It was kind of like Aroldis Chapman when the Cubs had prepared him for all these questions and they ask Aroldis, you know, are you sorry for what you did? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Addison is a tough one. He's not considered a great interview, not a go-to guy. There's so many other guys too. But that doesn't mean a guy like me who's covering this weekend can't go up to him and say, hey, are you willing to talk about this? Yeah, I'll do it. I covered Frank Thomas when he was going through his divorce, and that was a tough one to deal with. You don't know if you should ask the guy, if that's his personal space. Those are tricky ones, man.
Yeah, they are. I just thought there were way too many questions that weren't asked, and it was unfortunate. Hub Arkish is going to join us in about 20 minutes or so. We're on the air until 5:30 tonight until Cubs pregame against the Phillies. It's McNeil with Teddy Greenstein sitting in on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Bottom of the hour is sponsored by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves and San Diego are tied one game apiece in the Western Conference Finals. The Wolves return home Monday for Game 6 at Allstate Arena. Tickets start at $15. For playoff and ticket information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Hub Arkush in about 10, 12 minutes, and then Joe Maddon from his appearance earlier today with Lawrence Holmes shortly after 5 o'clock. In case you have not heard the news, once again, Javi Baez is not in the lineup for the Cubs tonight. Addison Russell will play shortstop and hit 8th as the Cubs try to come back. And even the series, exciting night at the ballpark last night with Arrieta's return, and kudos to Yu Darvish for stepping away from the mound when Arrieta came to the plate so he could take off the hat, the helmet, and acknowledge the ovation. It was great. And then everybody got back to business, and Cubs fans treated him like he's not one of theirs anymore.
Absolutely. You know, I think we'd all like to see you thrive, because this story's gotten kind of old. You know, last year, pretty much useless. The Cubs were not going to sign Yu Darvish, and then his price dropped so much, so all of a sudden they're like, ooh, Yu Darvish is on sale. Let's give this a whirl. So they did. If he can just kind of, I think, filter out all the stuff in his head and just focus on pitching, because he's a bit of a diva. I mean, I think with that was his reputation with the Dodgers and different places and, you know, translators and whatnot. But he's making an effort to fit in better with the team this year. They've got four other good starters. So if he is not the weak link, the Cubs really have some strong.
Excellent starters. It's as good as any rotation in baseball.
Seriously. Hendricks.
And I thought that going into the season that it was going to be the most interesting thing. I thought two things. Is Chris Bryant's shoulder healthy? The answer is yes.
Yep.
Chris Bryant's fine. And is that starting pitching is going to be as good as I think it potentially will be? Well, so far, so good. But you've got several guys on the wrong side of 30 involved. Not flamethrowers, but nonetheless still a reason to not think you've got anything here in late May sewn up, because you sure as hell don't.
And then my other questions, would Javi Baez continue to be phenomenal? Yes. Would Wilson Contreras have a bounce back season? Hell yeah.
And he has.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, OPS around a grand.
Do you think he's the best athlete on their team?
Yeah, so I was I covered the game last week. It was the one where it was the day after he caught 15 innings and still caught the next day. And I was talking to Schwarber and Taylor Davis about what that's like, because those are catchers. And what Schwarber said, I believe, was he is the best athlete. One of the best athletes in baseball. So that allows him to do it. He's got the frame to do it. He's got the mentality to go out every day. And his body just bounces back and allows him to catch, what, 135 games a year?
Teddy, at what level does Taylor Davis catch back-to-back games?
In Iowa.
How long ago? Really?
Well, but look, I got a soft spot
for that
guy. That's a bad
swing. I do too, but that's a terrible swing.
That guy's 5'10", 200 and whatever, and he's in the major leagues and hit a grand slam on a Saturday against the Cardinals.
I should go stand next to him. I'll feel fit.
That's right. Like, he is you in the big leagues. If you existed.
Thanks. Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, he's got some Jay Zawoski in him with the full beard, so I can see, because Jay, people say Jay and I have some similar features. So, hubbing a little bit, and then more baseball top of the hour. I wanted to ask you about your guy. I guess calling him your guy is going to put off 50 million American men, because they think he's their guy too. And that is the creator of Billions, who also is the man who co-wrote Rounders and made Rounders 20 years ago.
Yep.
He turned an idea at the end of the line, pretty much, with his writing career. He's having to make a choice. Am I going to continue as a record company executive? What am I going to do here? His friend is bartending, his co-conspirator, and they stick with it, and they come up with this script, and they turn poker, this underworld that was in small pockets all over the country, they turned it into a national phenomenon, because you couldn't go anywhere without seeing people playing Texas Hold'em several years after. I see he is making the rounds, and men want to be around Brian Koppelman, don't they?
You know, you and I do.
He checks every box many boxes for a guy. Oh, what does he like? Well, he creates these shows that are really cool guy shows movies. And his podcast is full of guy stuff, like interviewing Rush frontman Geddy Lee.
Sure. Well, I mean, he grew up in New York like I did. So he's, I think, 53, but had a similar background. So anyway, I talked to him and David Levy in this morning for a story I'm working on. And it's about all the great sports analogies in the show Billions. And you know what inspired this originally was Rounders, and of course that line early in the movie about Buckner, like Buckner walking back into shape.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like when I'm watching Billions, what always happens is I'm constantly pausing it and explaining to Nori, my wife, what the hell they're talking about. Like when they have a reference to Chuck Wepner and Spinks, you know, and Wepner's a bleeder and Spinks went down in 91 seconds. And there's certain things they've talked about on that show. Brian Doyle, you know, Lester Hayes, all these references that like young people and people not from New York are like, what the heck
Lester
are they talking
Hayes,
about?
Someone have something sticky on their
fingers? Sticky like Lester Hayes. Exactly. So there have been so many like that. I mean, then there was a line about Scottie
Pippen. Scores so much. Because Backstrom shares the puck.
Yeah, but when he does, Ovi goes bar down. This lame loses the puck between his legs or airmails it into the glass.
That's a great one. So I was asking Koppelman about this today. So there's a Scottie Pippen line in there. Chuck says this at one point. Connerty's pulling a Scottie Pippen. What do you got, a migraine? So that's Scotty in the show.
Wow, keeping that alive. I like it.
Exactly. It wasn't with the 1.8. It was the migraine reference.
That's
so,
30 years old.
Yeah.
When was that? That was 90, wasn't it?
Well, mid-90s? Yeah, there were two. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the migraine was 90.
Most people, I think of 94 when they were sitting out the 1.8 because he
right.
said. But there was also the early one that people forget. It was the Pistons, right?
Yeah, the migraine in the Eastern Conference Finals before the Bulls finally got over the hump in 91 and swept them.
Yeah, so these guys are big Knicks fans. So Koppelman actually.
That's unfortunate.
The New Yorkers. Koppelman told me that he was at a game when Scotty was still playing, and he was giving him a hard time. He was ribbing him. Hey, you got a headache? You all right, Scotty? And they bothered him enough that Scotty turned around and said, shut the bleep up. So you know those guys were going to get their revenge when they could in a script.
Brian Koppelman is a guy's guy. I don't know. I mean, he's married, got a kid, got a nice family, I'm sure. But I think he's more appealing to the male gender than he is females, don't you? Just looking at him. And he was in the movie Michael Clayton. He had a small part of that. He played cards against George Clooney.
Right. And he was on this show. And by the way, he apologized for his phone
George
cutting
Clooney.
Out.
George Clooney. What's that?
He apologized for his phone cutting out.
Oh, yeah. To that you was... when you talked to him
No,
today?
When you had him on your show. I love that interview.
The phone is going... Yeah, it went bad. It was a good 13 minutes, and then it went crackly.
Yeah, we'd love to have him back. Hopefully, apology will be, you know, him going back on the air.
Yeah, there were so many things we didn't get to, but gee, that's the kind of guy you could interview for an hour and you wouldn't get to everything.
He would do it. They were great today. They got 3 episodes left of Billions this year. We got to get you up to speed on Billions, Danny Mac. Seriously.
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good. Okay. I know it's a good show. I like the show. Yeah. I just don't have time for it.
Yeah. Okay. Make time. It's a really good one.
The Tribune's not watching the White Sox. Someone's got. Can't use that as an excuse.
Teddy, his phone cut out when he was in the middle of telling a story about the actor Arthur Nascarella, who played Carlo on Sopranos, and he also plays the guy who runs the pizza shop on Billions. It was about him, a poker game, and a handgun. And his phone just craps out.
Not a coincidence, right?
Perfect.
Somebody got to him.
Just perfect. Hub Arkish on Bears and NFL Matters in a few minutes on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Illinois poet Carl Sandburg wrote, "The fog creeps in on little cat feet." In moments, Soldier Field was shrouded in an eerie, thick mist. Under pressure and a smothering blanket of fog in a game where announcers couldn't announce, coordinators couldn't coordinate, and fans couldn't see, the Bear defense made the plays that had to be made.
Here's the snap now to Cunningham on first and 10 with no huddle. He fires the left side, and it's intercepted, I believe. Intercepted by the Bears and returned downfield. I can't see. I cannot see him. I wonder if it's Bo Douglas. It is Bo Douglas. Who comes across the field through the fog with the football in his left arm.
You know, actually, if Mike Ditka had come across the field with the ball, we could have assumed he intercepted it.
Yeah, nicely done, Tanny. Double scooping it with that one. Football, 100 years of Bears football, and let's get into it right now as the Bears on their site, chicagobears.com.
Turn out 25 more names today, names 51 through 75 on their all-time top 100 list, as we welcome our football expert, Hub Arkush, who joins us right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles from which to choose. Hub, are you as into this as Bernstein and I are? We keep every day. The first thing I want to talk about is who's coming out on today's list and what's wrong with it.
kind of. Let me just interject quickly. I'm really impressed, I guess, Shep or Chris, I don't know who, that you had our call from the fog ball. I've got a complete copy of that broadcast on cassette. I used to get them after we did every game. And somehow it got wiped out of the GN vaults when they were switching over to digital or something. And I've had calls from everywhere, including Canton, from people who didn't have that. So I don't know where those guys found that, but good on you.
All right, Tanny, you may have something worth some money there, the soundtrack, New Year's Eve of 88.
That particular clip is available on YouTube, Hub, so it wasn't a deep dive, but I wish I had more of it.
Well, yeah, then some other people better figure out how to use YouTube, because I keep getting calls for it. You know? I don't mind loaning out the tape once in a while, but for you guys, if you need it, let me know. The answer to your question, Mac, is yeah, I think this is a really fun exercise. The problem I'm having, and I meant to call Danny today, and I didn't get a chance, but I hope to see him tomorrow out at Ellis Hall, is I'm not sure exactly what criteria they're using here. You know, there's all kinds of ways to pick the 100 greatest Bears of all time. I mean, the couple that jumped out at me today, I see Khalil Mack, and I think, man, that could end up being a little low at 60-something, but he's only been there 1 year.
Yeah.
You know, I see Julius Peppers there, and that feels a little low to me, but without knowing who the top 50 are, it gets really difficult.
Yeah, Peppers feels low to me at 59 as well, and Mack right behind him with 13.5 regular season games on his resume and the playoff loss. What bothers me the most, well, first of all, philosophically, and in terms of what they're looking for, they needed another voice. The Bears website, the Bears chose Dan Pompey, terrific football mind, Don Pearson, the dean of football writer. But Danny was mentored by Don, and I don't know how much they think similarly. There needed to be at least one more voice of experience, a venerable eye like Hub Arkush's, to balance the list a little bit.
Well, no, listen, they are absolutely two of the best. Pompey and Pearson, both winners of the McCann Award, which is the highest honor a pro football writer can get from his peers, both enshrined in Canton at that exhibit. So I don't worry about any, I don't want to say duplicity, but any, you know, of the same answers. I just worry more that neither one of them ever saw, you know, about half the guys on the list so far play. And that's what makes it so tricky. That, I guess, is where they're relying on Virginia. Virginia McCaskey, I don't think they needed me, but it would have been nice. I'm trying to think of somebody, you know, 20, 30 years older than me who's still around. I guess there's nobody 20, 30 years older than me, so who knows? But, Mac, I agree it would be nice to have, more firsthand input from these pre-70s and 60s guys. But as far as everything in the modern era of the game, they couldn't have done any better than Don and Dan.
Hub, Teddy Greenstein, man. At first I thought, oh, they got to have some former Bears players on the list. But maybe they feel like, in terms of the, you know, selecting the players, maybe they feel like once you have former players there, they're going to put their buddies on. They're going to be even more biased than media people are. Or do you think they should have had a former player on?
Well, I mean, it certainly couldn't have hurt, but you're absolutely right, Ted. It would have had bias for that generation or that time frame, whatever it may be. I mean, you know, if you put, let's just say, my buddy Hamp on the list, everybody on the 85 team is going to make it. And maybe everybody on the 85 team is going to make it anyway. That wouldn't surprise me.
At least the defensive players.
Yeah, I mean, so you're right. If you add players, you add bias. I think what it was, you know, we just completed an exercise at Pro Football Weekly last year. We celebrated our 50th anniversary of the 17-18 season, and we picked the greatest team of the modern era. And we put together a panel of 18 of the best football minds in the country. But the advantage that we had was that everybody had seen almost everybody in the modern era play. I think in this particular instance, since you were going to be targeting blind to begin with, how many Hall of Famers, you know, played prior to 65? I'm guessing at least half of them. And so I'm thinking that they felt, hey, Dan and Don are writing the book. We chose them because we think they're the two best guys. This was not going to be a more the merrier thing. I think if they had added more people to the selection panel, it might have gotten harder and even, you know, less accurate and more debatable than what they have. So I'm cool with what they did. I just think it's tough to get too excited or too upset about anything they're saying here because, well, hey, at least until we see the whole list. I want to see who the first 50 are, and then we can have some really fun debates about it.
Well, there are going to be at least four quarterbacks who are ranked higher than Jay Cutler, who comes in at 85th on their all-time. Jim McMahon today is announced as number 53. Bill, don't call me Billy Wade, who engineered the win over the Giants in the title game in 63, is 69th, and I just found George Blanda's name at 82. Obviously, Sid Luckman will appear. I mean, that's just based on what? I mean, as much as it pains me to say, because I didn't like him, Cutler's the best quarterback in Bears history, is he not?
Well, I think you can rate Luckman ahead of him. I mean, again, this is a Hall of Famer, and you can't penalize him for the era or the period he played in. I mean, hell, they didn't even have the T formation to throw from until he'd been around for a few years. That's all credited to him and Halas. So I agree with you that I think Cutler definitely was a better quarterback than Jim McMahon, and Billy Wade wasn't even a good quarterback. I mean, I was a kid. I loved that team. I was 10 years old. It was, like, at that age, the greatest thing I'd ever seen. But it was 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I mean, they ran the ball twice, and they threw a short pass on third down. Wade was pretty good with the Rams before he got here, but really kind of a journeyman quarterback, to be honest with you. And so, yes, I think Cutler, the only quarterback I'm aware of in Bears history that I think you can justify, based on their ability and their skills and even the numbers they put up, the only guy is really Luckman.
I think with quarterbacks, here's what you ask. You have one game, it's the Super Bowl. Who do you want to have start a quarterback? Would you rather have Jim McMahon or Jay Cutler? Jim McMahon would be my choice. I'm glad to see him 30 spots higher.
Oof.
Well, Teddy, it's a good question. I don't know if I agree or not, to be honest with you, because I remember that game well. Was there, calling it, watching it, whatever. Didn't do the broadcast of that one, but was part of the pre and post. And Jim McMahon had very little to do with it. I mean, he threw one really nice pass to Willie Gault, but other than that, like so much about that team, it was the defense. It was, Walter and the ground game, even if you plug the fridge in. It was that incredible offensive line. McMahon made a few plays, but he wasn't special in that game. As a matter of fact, you go back over the 85 season, and you could almost argue that the only time McMahon was actually special was in that Vikings Thursday night game.
That's right. That's right. When he pleaded with Ditka to put him, that's the only game he single-handedly won for them.
My argument would be what Hub touched on before. I mean, you got to go with what they were asked to do.
That's true.
Jay is in this era, and he's not a winner. He's just not. I wouldn't trust him in a big game to win. I mean, I think Jim, if he had been playing 20 years later, he would have been a guy. I mean, look at what he did at BYU. He was capable of completing 35 to 40 passes a game when asked.
Well, and Teddy, there exactly is where my frustration lies, and you'll get this from a lot of his teammates. If Jim McMahon had committed to the team and committed to the game and taken it seriously, he might have been a really good quarterback.
Yep.
But he didn't, and so I'm not sure that he deserves a lot of credit, 30, 40 years later.
Hub, couple of NFL happenings, and I could go for another hour on this. You mentioned Willie Gault. His name is on the list. Damn it, he was a track star in a football uniform, but we'll do this later. The Jets have dysfunction. Before Adam Gase and his guys even packed for training camp, the general manager gets fired, and Adam Gase is trying to deflect all of the suggestions that he had his fingerprints on the dead body. What do you know about what's going on with the Jets and what kind of circus we're in for?
Well, Mac, everything I've heard, I think the circus will slow down once they officially give Joe Douglas the job, if they haven't already. I know there's rumors that Champ Kelly with the Bears is the other, quote, finalist. But everything I've heard is that Gase pretty much took the head coaching job with the understanding that he was going to be able to make this change. He was never comfortable with Mike Maccagnan. And, people are crucifying the Jets for letting Maccagnan spend $100 million in free agency and run the draft and then getting rid of him. But you guys have been around the game long enough to know no team signs a C.J. Mosley or a Le'Veon Bell contract without the approval of ownership and the coach, for that matter. So if they want to hang Maccagnan on that, that's just not true. He did a great job drafting in Houston before he got to New York. He's done better lately with the Jets. I'm not sure that he got a fair shake there, but Chris Johnson decided that he wanted Adam Gase, and everything I had heard going back to January is that this was what was going to happen. I'm surprised that they didn't name Joe Douglas the day that they fired McKagan, but I think that's probably coming. And Joe Douglas is ready. I mean, he's a decent choice, so it may not be that bad once they settle down, but it's just a shame when people get treated like this, and McKagan has been dead man walking for 4 or 5 months now.
Yeah, I'm a very sad Jets fan. I mean, hopefully in the next 40 years or however long I live, it'll pay off at least once. I'll be able to experience some joy.
You had your moment. Oh, you weren't here for that moment. No.
I was -3 in 1969. I did go to the AFC Championship game in Indy. I traveled, I think, wearing my Al Toon throwback jersey. But,
oh, nice. 82.
88.
88.
Now you're slipping.
Well, but you know how close the closest you got, Teddy, because I called this game for Westwood, was with Rex when he played in Pittsburgh. And really had that game won at halftime and then just went to sleep. And I think it was because of the exhaustive effort the week before, but I think that was 2011, the AFC title game.
Last thing, we got 30 seconds. Patriots fans were all stoked over the weekend, and Ndamukong Suh was in town, but it looks like he's signing with Tampa. How much gas does he have left in the tank?
Well, I think he's got plenty of gas, but what's interesting is he may be signing in Tampa because the Patriots may already be the front runner for Gerald McCoy. He's probably as good a fit. That's not official. I mean, McCoy hasn't visited anybody yet. Sue really desperately wants to get paid one more time. The Bucs really, they let McCoy go as much because of cap concerns as anything else. The Patriots always find themselves in decent cap situations because they prepare for this year-round. But what I'm hearing now is the same thing as you, Mac. It does look like the Bucs are the front runner for Sue. I think what everybody's trying to figure out is why Sue is a better fit there than Gerald McCoy. And the only explanation is that he's 2 years older and they may get him for a year or two less and a couple less bucks.
All right. Good stuff, Hub. Thanks a bunch for the visit. Take care.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, we'll see you. Hub Arcus joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Joe Maddon, Cubs skipper, was with Lawrence Holmes earlier today. Good stuff regarding the homecoming for Jake Arrieta, Yu Darvish's quality start last night, and lots of other pertinent Cubs stuff coming your way in just minutes on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Thanks for keeping us the number one sports station in Chicago. This is Sports Radio 670, The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.